Hey everyone, welcome back to my podcast. It's incredible. I'm posting a second episode in a matter of months when I went for like 2 years without posting anything or something like that. I don't remember the exact time length there. So I'm going to try something a little bit experimental now. I sort of finished my main episodes on epistemology as far as I can think of new episodes for now. Maybe I'll do a little conclusion episode or something like that. Maybe I'll leave it open-ended. But yeah, I finished talking about some of the main chunks I wanted to talk about. And a few things have come to mind recently. One is that I have never really said very much why I am a Christian. Probably the closest I've come in a few places are random appearances I've had where I was on a episode of a atheist podcast and talked a little bit about my journey there. I also wrote my closest to just like traditional apologetics would be the 5-part review I did of Richard Dawkins' God Delusion. I kind of use that as a point counterpoint to actually put forward some apologetic ideas. And what I mean by apologetics, for those who don't know, is it's a defense of a position. In this case, Christian apologetics, a defense, a intellectual defense of Christian belief. In general, though, I've sort of avoided that for two different reasons. Number one, there is an abundant amount of Christian apologetics already out there. The most prominent, obvious one people tend to start with, you could say, is William Lane Craig, reasonablefaith.org. I definitely recommend him. He's relatively conservative and can be abrasive, but he's definitely a serious philosopher and is taken seriously by atheist. So I certainly don't agree with him and everything, but like he's sort of the backdrop that a lot of conversations take place on because he's the elephant in the room. Most atheists are very aware of him too. So anyway, there's plenty of people out there doing that. There's plenty of bloggers out there giving their own little take, which is great. That sounded really dismissive when I said little, right? I didn't mean it that way. Maybe a little bit sometimes. I don't know. Anyway, the point is, I didn't want to just repeat the same content. Secondly, I actually felt like general principles of epistemology and reasoning and angles on these things that I had never heard expressed the way I had learned them. I had sort of discovered them for my own life. I felt like there is a hole there, that this very tight syllogistic reasoning was talked about, but like heuristics, like I did an episode on that. That's not something I almost ever hear talked about. It's sort of assumed, but there are really good ways to use heuristics and really bad ways. And I think it's actually a huge part of life. We use heuristics all the time, and it's mind-blowing that no one's talking about the best way to use them, because we're actually using heuristics way more often than syllogistic reasoning. And syllogistic reasoning, I mean that formal logic of like two statements then a conclusion. So we can organize our thoughts in forms of syllogism, but as we sort of navigate our day, and a lot of our bigger decisions are arguably, I don't think it would be crazy to say 99% heuristical or very related abductive reasoning, which is inference to the best explanation. This is reminding me that I haven't done an episode on abductive reasoning as such, and maybe I should do that. By the way, I just said as such. That's like pretty intellectual, just so you know. Anyway, I wanted to fill a gap that I saw was there, which was like kind of everyday practical epistemology and how it impacts all of life, including worldview, but not just worldview, like truly all of life. So I didn't want to copy. I didn't want to just do what other people were doing and that was abundantly available with Christian apologetics. I wanted to fill this hole with the things that I found most interesting and that I felt like were not talked about that much and not talked about adequately, in my opinion, at least in an accessible way that I knew where it was available. A third thing is, I want to cross the aisle a lot, and I want to emphasize how much I sympathize with skeptics and with doubting Christians. And A very bad way to do that is just to come out full force Christian apologists and let me just argue for Christianity and why you atheists are wrong and stuff like that. That doesn't really sum up my journey and doesn't sum up what I wanted to do. Yes, I am a Christian and therefore I believe it is the ultimate truth. And if I believe it's the ultimate truth, I do want others to ultimately join in believing in that ultimate truth. Yeah, sure, of course, I have that goal, but I just that's it didn't it wouldn't present myself the way I feel like I am. Like I wanted to, I'm all about common ground, and I truly, genuinely have great sympathy for skeptics and doubting Christians, and so that's what I wanted to emphasize. However, it's at some point you gotta like put it out there a little bit. You gotta say, I have to say, why do I believe? And I've never tried to avoid it exactly, but I just haven't really laid it out there in any sort of full way, let's say. So I th that had been an itch I started to feel as I moved out of the epistemology stuff series, the epistemology series of my podcast. A second thing is I've had two recent experiences where I like left like long voice memos and sometimes like a series of voice memos in text to friends of like sort of storytelling, and they seem to like really enjoy it, and I had fun doing it. And one was telling the ending to the video game Shadow of the Colossus, which is a classic video game that I finally played for the first time very recently. And I had some temporary roommates during this time, my very close friends from Romania, Alex and Andrea, and they watched me play part of it, and but they had to leave before I got to the final boss fight, and so they were like, "You got to tell us what happens." And so I left them this long voice memo, and they talked about being on the edge of their seats and stuff, and it was very fun. And I thought, "Screw it, I need to just sit down and talk to the microphone, to the video, to the camera, like I'm sitting with a friend, like I'm sitting with my Romanian friends, and just tell the story, essentially." So this is going to be a self-indulgent exercise. If you don't enjoy this, that is perfectly fine. These episodes will be well titled, clearly titled, and you can just skip all of them. I'm going to do them. My goal is to do them in like 20-minute chunks to make them very, digestible. And it's an experiment. I don't know what I'm going to do with this exactly. I want to allow myself to meander into the, like the epistemology and the philosophy some, but I also want to kind of storytell, and I'm also going to allow myself to sum things up at various points. In other words, I'm really treating this like I'm at a house party that got oddly serious, and there's only four people left, and we're sitting on the floor in the living room, and we're all just like getting into some deep conversation, and I'm explaining why I'm a Christian, and it's it ends up being 4 a.m. That's how I'm treating this. Like I said, it's an experiment. We'll see if how much I follow through on this. We'll see how many episodes I actually do. I think it'll be fun, a little fun little exercise, and hopefully. Really, hopefully it's an entertaining story. I had an unusual childhood and somewhat unusual path to where I am now in my beliefs. And so I hope it's kind of entertaining, and I hope it truly does bring to light where I'm coming from, so that if you do listen to any of my other stuff or read anything else on my website, you'll know where I'm coming from. And I mean, my hope, and this can only be a hope, this is something only you can judge, is that I will be seen as someone who truly did try to question the beliefs I started with to their very core, and put as much energy as I was capable of into getting to the truth, and to not just getting to the truth, but evaluating my beliefs fairly, even if I held on to them. And what I mean by that is, like, if I hold on to a belief, it's not just about saying, oh, I now think this idea is false. It's about saying, okay, I'm still holding on to this belief, but now I'm way less confident in it. So that's been my goal, is just have an honest evaluation of my beliefs, and then ultimately rewinding and doing the best you can of pretending you're a blank slate and starting with the data that you have, but resetting the clock a little bit and say, okay, starting fresh, what makes the most sense? So that's the goal. So I'm about 10 minutes in, halfway through this first chunk, and I guess I'll just get started from here. Oh, I should mention one other element of a exercise this is for me is I have some actual like OCD, and it's very hard for me to just talk continuously in a recording without stopping and questioning and thinking, did I say that right? Or should I have said that? Or did I miss this? And so I think this is a little bit of exposure therapy for me of just plowing through for 20 minutes, really trying to have no edits or anything like that, which once again, it's a bit self-indulgent and it'll be a bit messy. I'm going to have to double back on some things. So just stick with me and let me know in the comments if you're enjoying this or you freaking hate it. And you know what? I don't care. Yeah, I do care. Anyway, so starting point, I'm from Georgia. I'm 37 years old now, so just to start the clock there, now let's rewind to my childhood. And I'm from Georgia. I grew up in Covington, Georgia, out in the woods. And I have two older sisters. And I grew up very, no, look, I'm not going to go through my whole, the night of my birth or anything like that. I just could tell by the way I said that. It sounds like, oh God, the first 3 hours are just going to be his first 5 years of life. No, I'm just setting the scene, okay? I was homeschooled in the woods of Georgia. How's that? Okay, so what's interesting about my childhood is I would say my parents were conservative evangelical Christians, and that's how we were raised. But there's certain things people are going to immediately think about that that aren't entirely true about my parents. I guess the first thing is they were coming from the sort of Campus Crusade movement that took the sort of the relationship with Jesus very seriously. That was paramount, really. And the grace and forgiveness and experience and love was really number one. I mean, I think probably the way they would say it is like doctrine is also like you can't put one above the other, you know? Like, how can you have the experience and the love if you don't have sound doctrine? They'd probably say something like that. But the point is, there are Christians. I associate this more with actual, like very serious, like Catholics, maybe, than Protestants. But it's definitely true with Protestants too. But a sort of mentality where they're serious about the religion, but it's not about the relationship. It's not about the experience. It's about sort of tradition and family and keeping things like that in a way to organize your life. And what I'm trying to get across is my parents were not like that. There was elements of that, but they sincerely believed it and sincerely and very much stressed the relationship with Jesus and the realness of it. Like, this is not just a belief. This is real. Like, we're all going not to heaven, to the new earth. My mom especially was very early on in a better understanding of the biblical narrative that we're not going to float off to heaven. Jesus doesn't teach that. He teaches that this earth will be remade into a new earth. And so I was lucky to be taught about the new earth very young instead of floating off into heaven. And yeah, it's very C.S. Lewis faith, let's say. My parents very influenced, just like probably most Campus Crusade people of that era. My parents are baby boomers. So yeah, very focused on the relationship, the realness of it. Part of the reason I bring that up is because that was so key to why I started doubting. Or what happened when I started doubting. So basically, when you start with very fundamentalist beliefs and then you move outside of the bubble, then of course you're going to question. I think I would have probably just questioned all the way to the exit pretty quickly if it weren't for the realness that I had been brought up with about it, and that also felt very real to me. So I'm thinking here where to sort of go from here, but basically that's where I started. Yeah, just to pick some episodes as I went along as a kid. Like I had some, first of all, I mean, I think many people, many atheists would agree it's a beautiful story, the story of the cross and forgiveness. There's this amazing quote by John Loftus, an atheist who actually comes back up in my own personal story, but saying how, how could you not love the story of the cross, of God loving you so much that, he was willing to sacrifice his son. Obviously, you can debate ethical theories about someone else dying in a person's place and all that, but just in that initial way it hits you about grace, it's a truly beautiful story. So even as a kid, that hits you really strongly, and that God is love. God is, or God has the property of justice, but he's not equal to justice, but God is love. What a beautiful thing. And so yeah, just that there's a creator God who's all loving, who's watching over you. And so just those ideas are very powerful. But then I had very real experiences of God early too. One interesting one was this super cheesy thing called the Power Team. This is very niche, but it was this group of athletes who were all Christian and would go around, and they would do these, go to churches and conferences or whatever, and they would do these like feats of strength, like tearing a phone book in half and like blowing up a hot water bottle until it exploded and breaking concrete blocks. It honestly pretty impressive stuff, but I mean, it's cheesy, obviously. And it's cheesy because they're breaking concrete blocks and then, giving the gospel. When taken truly at face value, I think it can be a very beautiful thing. But yeah, just being honest, like from the outside, it's a very cheesy thing, right? What's crazy about it is, so I think I went to this, it was, yeah, it had to have been in middle school, like probably early middle school. It could have even been elementary. I could have been like only like 10 years old. And my church went there, and we took the church bus. And so we get this really cheesy demonstration. And I don't remember that many details besides some of the physical things they did, like the concrete blocks and stuff like that. But I don't remember the messages the little sermons they talked about, they gave were that great. I don't remember being like, oh, what they're saying is mind-blowing to me. But what I do remember is, and if you'll just let me put on my Christian lens for a moment, and if you'll go there with me for a second, it's just the Holy Spirit was just filling that room. And what I mean by that is an actual feeling in your body that I have felt very few times in my life to that level, and it feels like nothing else. And it was the first time I'd ever felt this. And what's really powerful is the subtle way I realized it wasn't just me, because we were on the bus on the way home, and I just remember feeling this unbelievable feeling that I can't fully describe. And like I said, I don't remember connecting intellectually to what they, or even emotionally to the little sermons they gave. I remember it was good. I mean, I connected at a normal emotional level, but this feeling felt like it came from left field. And I remember sitting there, and the kid across from me in the bus just having a look on their face, and she said, "It feels like we're floating." And that's how I felt too. And it was so cool. That's all I remember her saying. Like, I don't remember us talking about it. I don't remember me saying, "Do you feel something too?" And so that's a powerful thing. And of course, I'm not saying that proves anything. I'm sure you can think of many reasons, many explanations for that. But I had a moment like that. I went to some Christian conferences when I was older, week-long conferences that were one or two other times where I felt, and then also much later in college, which I'll get to, but I felt what I would say is the Holy Spirit, just this unique feeling that is not simply peace, that is not simply happiness or, being overjoyed, like a fundamentally different feeling that I felt nowhere else except in these very specific contexts, and only these very specific times in those contexts. And so Yeah, so it had this incredible realness to it. And just in other ways, I mean, I just always believed in God, always believed in Jesus. And just in those small ways that are hard to describe, it seemed like there really was a presence there. So to give a preview for the next episode or future episodes, I ended up in this spot where I felt like fundamentalism was completely falling apart. I had good reason to believe that stuff was false. Which seemed like even the core of Christianity might be false, but it also seemed very real. It felt like these very real things happened to me. It felt like the story rang true. Is that the right verb? Way to do that verb? Yeah, the story really rung true, rang true, whatever. Yeah, it just seemed like there was this presence there that was real. And so I was of this split mind that was tortuous later. But yeah, I'll leave it for there and kind of continue on. Thanks for listening.